I went down there to get a notebook, and they told me that the notebook company was owned by a bunch of sodomites. So I stuck with my sodomite iPad. Well, same difference. Amen. Luke 22:31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." I want to pause there for a second and not preach on that, but I like for people to think and just take a second there and put your name there. Put your name there. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The word "behold" is a very strong word. Brother Dale used it a while ago, but it carries weight with it. Just like that word Brother Ron Williams mentioned the other day on verily, verily. You need to pause right there for a minute. And that word "behold," it carries a whole lot more weight to it other than "look here." Oh, no, no, no. God said, "I want your undivided attention. Now, I've got something of the utmost importance that I need to point out to you. And I need you to stop everything. And I need you to hear and pay attention to what's fixing to be said." He said, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." When you think about the process of sifting wheat, I know very little about it. We raise tobacco, we smoke tobacco, we chew tobacco. And we was in the tobacco patches. And I'm saying tobacco for the north because we call it backer. And we're too lazy to say two, so we just call it backer. And Jesus made this statement, Brother Williams. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," as the preacher read last night. We ought to take the utmost attention to the fact that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Don't just take a look. Stop everything. Stop everything. And somebody answer the door. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst." And I believe that means that I come this morning in the name of the Lord. And if just one more person came today in the name of the Lord, then the Lord would meet with us. He's in our midst. There's no doubt about that. So I wonder why he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It must be for something along the lines that we came to church for something other than Jesus. Uh-oh. It might be another reason that we came, and there's 40,000 things that goes through our mind when we start thinking about why are you here. And because he's an ever-present God. He's an ever-present help. But I wonder in the Laodicean church why there's people on the inside and gods on the outside. What did God call Simon's undivided attention to? He said, "Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." I looked very briefly at the wheat processing ordeal, and the first thing I noticed is that they, of course, you know, they grow it, but then they gather it. This is important as an introduction. I think my introduction is more than anything. But they gather the wheat, and then from what I can understand, they take and they grind the wheat. They take this thing as a whole, and then they put it in this grinder, and then they grind this wheat, and it comes out ground down. Everything, chaff, wheat, it's all in there. And then they begin to sift it in a sieve or whatever they call it. And as they're sifting it, there's a breeze blowing, a fan of some sort. And as they sift it, the wheat falls down and the chaff begins to blow away. And then they take it out of the container and they go through this process again until they get it down to what they want. But I came to tell you today that Satan's not trying to get the wheat. What he's trying to do is separate the wheat and end up with the chaff. He's not trying to get the good in your life. He's trying to get the good out of your life. He wants the good out of you. He wants all hope lost, you understand.
Right.
He wants you to be left a reprobate. That's what he wants. He's desired to have you that he may destroy you. He's desired to have you that he may take any hope that you have. Isn't that something? It's not Satan's desire to burn the dross out of mine in your life and to keep the silver. He wants to get rid of the silver and keep the dross. You just heard the man talk as he gave his testimony where the silver was burned out of his life and all was left was a bunch of dross. And some of y'all is the same way. You live the whole life full of dross. Satan's destroying everything in your life that's any good. And we'll get there. Trust me, we'll get there. God has put some good things in your life when you was born in your sin. God had still put some good things in your life, ladies and gentlemen. God still gave you some wonderful things. Amen. I'm not here today because I went to work last week and made enough money to buy an airplane ticket and get on an airplane and fly to New York and go buy a car rental place and pick up an auto. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because God let me be here. Amen. God's the one that let me get up last week and go to work. God's the one that gave me the mind to work. God's the one that gave me the ability to function within my being. God can easily wipe that out. Satan can't do it. He can take these things from you. Go talk to my friend, Brother Mike Church, and you'll see what a life of sin done for him. Brother Harvey and I was talking about gospel cruises the other day, and it was not glorious. We were in the car having a puke festival about gospel cruises. And as soon as he said something about the gospel cruise, because he's talking about this big time preacher down there in the South, and I guess he even gets up in the North some, and he said that he just come on one of them cruises, and I'm not going to mention his name, Brother Harvey can, but Brother Harvey got over next to him in the preacher's conference that they was just in. Brother Harvey said, "Hey, pull your pants up, let me see your legs." He wanted to see if he'd be running out there showing them legs, you know, in a little short talk. Amen. I said, "Glory to God, I hope he did say that." But you know what's amazing? As soon as he said that, you know where my mind went? My mind went to one individual that takes those cruise ships, those gospel cruise ships. And he used to stand in the pulpit and preach with the power of God in his life. And he sung some beautiful songs like the Morey family just did. And he even wrote some beautiful songs. But then a few years ago, there was a boy out of prison called me in the prison that was in prison with my preacher brother. And he said, "Look, man, I'm about to get out. I've been in here for a while." And he gave me a little bit of his story. And he said, I want to know, I just need to get back in the pulpit. I want to preach and wonder if I could come out. And, you know, us preachers, we don't ever invite ourselves nowhere to preach. And wonder if I can just come by and preach. And I didn't say yes. I said, "Well, you know, man, I'll pray about it." And that's almost a cuss word today in the preaching circle. You're going to pray about preaching or who you're going to have to come in and preach. But nonetheless, I said, "I'll pray about it." And I come to, I do more than praying. I nose around. I dig. And I find out stuff about people. I'm nosy like that. And, I get on Facebook and I start finding, you can't help it on Facebook. But I started investigating and I found out I knew his pastor. And so I called his pastor up and I said, "Hey, let me ask you about this old boy. He's called me, wants to come to our church and preach." He said, let me tell you something about him. He said, he's one of the best men I know. He said he was married to my sister. He said he come home one day and caught his wife in the bed with that preacher I was just talking about writing them gospel songs. He said he went out there and poured gas on the house. And I'm not gonna lie about it, me personally, and I'm not saying this is right, but I don't blame him. He said he poured gas on his house and lit it on fire and burned his house down with them in it. And they got out, but he tried to burn it down with them in it. That's probably better than what I'd have done. Man in there with my wife, that's probably better than I'd have done. And he went to court and they gave him 25 years in jail for burning his house down with attempted murder. And I can understand at that moment, not saying it's right, but I can understand that rage getting up inside of a man, making him act irrational and thinking outside of his head and just snapping and losing it. And I said, Satan, I desire to have you, that he may sit you as weak. Take some things out of your life if you're not careful.
Yes, sir.
And that pastor told me, he said, I love him. He said, that was my sister. He said, I want him to come back in here and sit down. He said, I will let him back in my pulpit. That's the first place my mind went, Brother Harvey, when you told me about that gospel cruise. What that man's living in, Satan's desired to have these things. He's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He's wanting to take away everything possibly good in your life and leave you with a life of hell. So, preacher, what do? Man, I fight. I stand and fight, and I kneel and fight, and I lay and fight, and I run and fight, and I scream and fight, and I preach and fight. Trying to fight for the wheat.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
I need you to understand that the devil is as a roaring lion. Walking to and fro, seeking who he may devour. I don't know about you, and I'm a little weird man, but I like watching them lions, and I like watching them tigers, and I like watching them wild animals go out there and sneak around, and I love to watch them jump on their prey. I don't know, just... Man, it reminds me of a good football tackle or something. I just like it. But Sam, I sit in the house of God and I watch people come in. And I see people go out and I watch that lion lurking in the bushes, looking for his opportunity to leap on that prey and destroy their life, to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's good and godly and hopeful in their life. I'm not crazy for no reason. I'm crazy because I see these things. Listen to what Job 18:10 said. Job said, the snare is laid for him in the ground and a trap for him in the way. I want you to understand that Satan has set snares in your life to trap you. And based on God's description of Satan in Genesis, he's very, very subtle. He doesn't come out waving flags. He doesn't come out just screaming. He's very subtle. He's sneaky. He's very slick about his little tactics. There's people gets caught up in them before they even realize it. Slick. He's smooth. I'm not here to brag on him. I'm here to cuss him. And I'm here to expose him. I hate him. They said, you ain't supposed to hate nobody. Look at me and my God-given eyeballs. I hate him. And I enjoy hating him. He'll take you straight to hell. What's there to like about him? He'll put your youngest, bless God, in the back seat of a car and rip her guts out. You understand? He'll take your little boys and stick a junkie needle in their arm and even give them AIDS and everything else. What's there to like about him? What's there to enjoy about him? How can I get along with him? He wants to kill you, friend. Slick about it. It's usually our nature, especially this little girl. I watch these children. It's our nature to see somebody in the ditch and help them out. We tend to look at people. I mean, some of us, it ain't so self-righteous, Brother Williams. When I see them little girls on the street and them boys on the street and they're begging for money. And I don't care if they're plumb crazy purple. I don't give a flip what color they are. And they're just strung out. And they're just skin and bones. And their clothes are just hanging on. It's in my heart to reach out. I want to be a blessing. I want to help them. I'd love to see them get to God. And you say, what is it? The devil's got his hook set in them. Say, do you give them money? Not always. I'll buy them a meal. But I don't want to give them money and go buy another shot of heroin. Sometimes the Lord will tell me, give them a dollar, give them something. And I'll do as the Lord says by the grace of God. But what I see is somebody in the snares of Satan. And I see that in the church and I see that on the street corners. Why is it so many people are falling by the same snares? We want to help people up out of the snares. We tend to want to give a helping hand to a wounded warrior. We tend to want to reach out and, you know, maybe it makes us feel better, whatever reason it is. But at the same time that we reach out and try to help others, we are so blind and so naive and we step into the same snares ourselves. Why? Because the devil's very subtle. Very subtle. What's a better way for me to preach against pornography than to look at some pornography? Man, I can really look at pornography and get me a real understanding. I can really hammer down on preaching on it. Lie, that's a lie, hashed out of hell. You say, preacher, what are you talking? I'm telling you, that's the kind of stuff the devil will tell a preacher man. Oh, yeah, friend. Hey, you might check into that motel that you're into, pull out that drawer, 100% innocent. 100% innocent. Pull out that motel drawer, and there'd be one of them old stupid godless magazines laying in there. And man, you shut the door, and you can go on down there and preach in your meeting. And on the way home down there that night, the devil will tell you, hey, why don't you just look at it? You preach against it. You can better preach against that stuff if you just take a peek. You don't bless God have to take a peek of it. Righteous indignation to help you preach against it. Very subtle, Brother McVeigh. You don't have to go buy a magazine no more. I'm telling you, he's subtle about it. All you've got to do, bless God, is go down to the grocery store and take the blinders off at the checkout line and look at the National Enquirer. There's enough junk on the National Enquirer to fill the wildest imagination. I tell you, you've got to go in this world with blinders on because the serpent is out to devour us. Why is it my wife has to go by my drawers, bless God, and see another man model them? Why do you need to see a man try them on before you get them for your husband? They ain't a jealous bone in my body, but I've come to tell you, that's the wickedest hell. It's a snare of Satan. It's a devil working his work. And it's a hooking people every day. You know what it's called? Planting a seed. Plant a little seed. Very subtle, ain't it? Plant a little seed right here. That seed to grow. Because I tell you, buddy, it don't take long for us to water some of them old thoughts. The devil will see to it he gives increase. He'll give you some temptation and some opportunity out of that. That's right. My little granddaughter, sweeter than a rattlesnake. Got to go through the Christian store. And there they got nakedness in the counter and the checkout line at the Christian store. Why does my granddaughter, why does your little boys and girls have to stand in that godless line and look at the naked people when they... He's subtle, son. He's snaring us. He's setting the hooks at an early age.
Right.
Sure. And he never stops, ladies and gentlemen. He'll give a flip if you're 180. My pastor's daddy told me he was an old man. Fought back in World War II. He's a tough old codger, man. He said, son, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I thought when I got old, this thing get easier. He said, the battles get harder. He said, the devil don't let up on you. He said, it's a constant fight, even in your old age, fighting the pride of life, fighting all these other things. He said, yeah, there's other things that don't work in your life, but there's a lot that still does, and you have to fight every day of your life. Yeah. Subtle. He's trying to sow seeds in our mind to snare us. I want to apply this to everybody in this building, but I want... And the Lord gave me this week, Brother McVeigh, for this meeting. This is not a re-preach or a reheat or whatever you want to call it. I've been spending time alone with the Lord this week. This is what the Lord has given me. I want you young people to understand. I want you to hear and hear what I'm trying to preach today. I was young not too long ago. I'm only 54 years old, and I tell you, I was 20 just like that ago. I know what it's like on the streets on Friday night, man. I know what it's like walking in the school halls. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. I ain't forgot what it was like amongst my peers. I ain't forgot what it was like trying to have friends. And I'm not here to fight you. I'm here to fight for you. My church family's here. And I believe if my church family would be honest, if they stood up, they could testify, they'd tell you, man, our pastor, he'll fight for you. Sometimes he seems like he hits me right square in the mouth, but I'm fighting for him. Man, got to make a fool out of yourself. Got to make some people almost despise you. It's a price you're willing to pay. See them get to God and get out of them snares. I have an uncle that owns a large farm down where we live, and he spends $5,000 to $10,000 a pop at trying to reproduce quails and pheasants in our area. My grandpa pretty much and his generation went through, and they about wiped out all the quails. I mean, you know, it was so good, man. They're shooting quails everywhere they looked and running them bird dogs man, I fell in love with it as a young boy, working them bird dogs and going out bird hunting. But they're almost extinct in our area now, and you can't hardly find a bird. So he spends big money now on trying to re-put birds out and repopulate the area with birds. And he starts it on his farm, and he'll buy $5,000 to $10,000 worth of birds, quail, Bob Whites at a time. He'll spend $5,000 to $10,000 per load on just ringneck pheasants, and man, we'll go put them out. But you know what happens when we put out all them birds? There's a food festival that takes place in town. Every hawk within a 100-mile radius begins to show up, and every coyote comes to town, and all the owls start finding limbs to perch on at night, and every little fox in the community shows up, and every one of these little old cats that people ain't had enough sense to kill yet shows up, and I mean, all this good.
That's a good question.
Would you tell me if this is about with my... Without our dogs, I'm going to stay off my pet peeves. It doesn't say within the house, without our dogs. man. I love dogs. Don't miss it. Don't get me wrong. I love them. I love little old kitty cats. I love them. I love them medium rare. I love them rare. I love them well done. I love them. He puts them birds out, and all these animals begin, these predators begin to show up. So in order to handle that, we begin to set out traps and snares for all the predators. We want to see the quails populate. We want to see them have some babies. We want to see them, the pheasants, you know, have some little old birdies. And we want to see them grow. And believe it or not, I got a barber, change barbers, against my will, and I have no say-so now who my barber is, because my new barber is one of the ringleaders of the MS-13 in my area, and I have no say-so how my hair looks, where I go to the barbershop, nothing. I'm not making that up. I'm scared to tell them I ain't coming back. I went over thinking that I could be a witness to them. They ain't, none of them can speak English. I try to translate through text on my phone. I don't know what I texted him last time. Must have been cut half my veins off. I don't know what it was. Can we miss your hair? Skunks show up, the cats show up. We begin to set out all these traps, these snares, because we want to try to keep the predators away from the little birdies. We want to repopulate. We set out all kind of traps, and let me say, he doesn't go through, listen, he don't go through the farm with a bulldozer to set the traps. Oh no. We go through very inconspicuous. It's very subtle. We don't even want the animals to know, the predators to know that we've even been there. We want to sneak in and sneak out. We don't want to leave our scent behind. We don't want to change anything. We don't want to cause a big scene. We just want to put the trap out and get out of there. Very subtle. The work of a trapper is a lot like the devil. Let me give you a few of these traps and I'll shut up. Number one, we use a live trap. Now I heard Brother Westerfield preach on the trapper man. And it was a wonderful, wonderful message. And I will copy that. But I'd encourage anybody to go look on the internet if possible and look up John Westerfield's message on the trapper man. Wonderful message. Look with me, if you will, in Isaiah 59. We use them live traps. Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." Listen to what he said. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you." This cage, ladies and gentlemen, is used to relocate animals. If you have a coon in your attic, you can go take a live trap and bait it up and put it in your attic. And hopefully the coon, well, that's a raccoon for the northern folks. And for the southern folks, that's a four-legged animal. Gotta explain that, Brother McVay. The coon will come into that trap and you put something in there. We use sardines. We found out that coons love sardines. Now I got African or something in me because I love chitlins, collard greens, black-eyed peas. I love hogs. I love everything. I like brains and eggs. I like it. I like taking the hog brains, mixing it with eggs. Y'all ain't never been poor enough to have to eat the brains with the egg, but I've done it, and I like it. We've done every bit of that stuff. And I love sardines. I love saturating them in some good old vinegar, praise God, and eating them things. Me and the sisters, we get along real good. Amen. We go down to Brother Williams, we go down there to the soul food restaurants in the inner city of our little town, our ghetto, and me and my son walk in there, and so we might put on our bib overalls and have a piece of straw hanging out of our mouth, and we just look at them like the biggest rednecks in the world and go, yeah, we'd like a plate of them chitlins. Chitlins? Yeah, throw some of them hog jowls in there too. We'd like to eat some of them hog jowls. What y'all know about hog jowls? We know enough to come down here and get them, maybe. Amen. We put them sardines in there, and the next thing you know, that coon comes in there. Now, boys, I have to make a confession. We got this German Shepherd that loves to fight, and I love the German Shepherd. It's mean. It's as mean as it can be. And we'll catch him coons. And we got a buddy named Tommy Shore. And he's a real coon hunter. He asked his boys, bring them coons to me. I want to take those coons and we'll take them off your property. And I'll train my coon dogs with them. But before I can get them to Tommy Shore, we got this coon dog. I mean, we got this German Shepherd. An old mean thing. She's named Missy. We call her Missy. And, I've had to hit her in the head and everything else. You know, I've tried to help her, and she's hit at me. And I've grabbed her by the collar, and I've tried to knock her out. More, I'm not making this stuff up, man. Man, get a sore on her eye, and you try to save her, and put a little salve on her eye, and she turns around and bites at you. And you grab her by the collar, bless God, and beat her upside the head. Don't you ever bite at me again. I'm trying to help you. Now that's how we did the dogs, amen. And if they didn't like that, we just take them down there next to the river and dig a hole, and you can figure the rest out for yourself. If they don't hunt, they don't get to eat, amen. If they won't hunt, they didn't get to eat, amen. We weren't going to sell them and rip somebody else off and make them think they got them a real dog, because if it wasn't a hunt, it wasn't a real dog. Now that's how we was, Brother Williams, and that's how we mostly still are. Around that little part of the redneck community. And I'll get that old coon, son, and I'm telling you, I've seen some of them. I'm going, boy, this is going to be good. And I'll get old Missy out there, and I'll take that coon right in front of that trap, right in front of that dog, and I'll take that thing and open it up, and I'll dump that coon out, and it's on, son. I mean, it's on, boy. I'm telling you, I've seen them coons about rip her eyeballs out of her head. I've seen them take their paws and swipe them and rip that nose over to the side, but it ain't long, old boy. Old Missy will get that coon by the throat. She'll let go. And she don't quit until the life is gone. Preacher, tell me some of this stupid stuff you're talking. I'm telling you, the devil will grab you by the throat. And you're he'll not let you go until the life is gone out of you. It all sounds nice and fun. I look in and I see the works of Satan, Brother McVeigh, right, in people's lives sitting inside the house of God. I see the devil, the old wicked one, grabbing people by the jugular and shaking the life out of them, hooking them and never letting them go. The other coons that we relocate, we do give them time. And he takes them to another piece of property. I got to hurry up and get past this. And he works them dogs. Next thing you know, they're up in a tree. They're taking a .22, shooting it out of a tree. The coon jumps out on the dog's head. It doesn't end up well for the coon in any situation. Right. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you the devil will do everything in his power to separate you from the people of God. He'll do everything in his power to separate you from the things of God. He wants to relocate some of you sitting up in here. Oh yeah, you say, preacher, you're nuts. Just take a second and look around. You'll find out how nuts I am. There's a whole lot of people that ain't here today that used to be here 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Preacher, where are they?
They done been caught up in that snare, you understand? And the devils have got them away. He's pulled them out. He's relocated them. They're not under the gospel today. Not within reach of God's man today. He's removed them. He's removed them. He's relocated them. See, a snare is a wicked thing. It's what this trap is. It's a relocator. I want you young people to understand this. He'll relocate you with music.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I've tried to help a lot of young people. I love young people. I got a burden for young people. I hate to see young people hurt and suffer. I've dealt with people before, youngins before, children before, middle age school, high school. And Brother Williams, I took boys in my home, my house, and we tried to nurture them in that admonition of the Lord. We took little girls out of the community that came out and just tore up messes. I'm talking about just messes of a home. And you try to love on them and try to let them see Jesus and take them to the church and try to share the Lord with them. And I'll never forget one of them left a little iPod over my house one day. And I picked it up like a fool. I said, I want to see what's on this. I didn't want to get her in trouble. I didn't want to find nothing bad. I just want to see what was on it. My wife will tell you, it was some of the most vulgar, filthiest, ungodliest mess. I have never imagined that they even made music like this. It's not music. It's a bunch of noise. And I begin to understand why this girl couldn't come to terms, because the music she was listening to was polluting her and it was separating her from the Holy God. Separating her between a preacher that loved her and the pull of this old world. I've read a book. Or I listened to it on audio, Brother John, The Closing of the American Mind. A professor up in the state of New York. City of New York, and this guy's not saved. He's just a Jewish professor, and he's told stuff about the generations from like the 40s and 50s right on up until the day in which we live, and he talks about the decline of the students in the university, how he's watched after generation, how their mind has just declined and deteriorated. And he's talking about how today kids don't even know what a hero is. And I mean, they ain't even got Batman, and there's no Superman. And he said, it just out of a wild blue, one of them might every once in a while say, Jesus, and not even know what they're talking about. He said, you want to know one of the number one things that's caused this in America? Our music. The Mick Jagger movement, and you know, all that little hippie movement coming in here, and that thing just bleeding over. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll listen to the stuff that we're listening to today, for God in heaven's sakes, I don't understand it. But I tell you what it is, it's a snare. It's pulling these young people away. It's taking them into a world that we don't even know. And they're looking at us like we don't know, because we really don't know. And we're out of the loop. And we don't understand. We don't get a hold of this stuff. And yeah, I'm telling you, it's the devils of hell. Listen real good. It's the devils of hell. It's the devils of hell being pounded inside their eardrums, into their minds, leaking down into their heart. And it's creating wedges in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. Music. Detrimental. It's a snare. I'm going to hurry up. Social media is a snare. I told Michael this morning, I said, for some stupid reason, I have Facebook. I like going to the marketplace, and there's a few things. You know, I like shopping. I like buying me surprises. And But just this week, I said, I'm going to delete this stupid thing because I'm grieved every time I look at it. It makes me mad. I get upset. I see things I don't want to see. I learn things I don't want to hear. But I tell you, that social media business, ladies and gentlemen, is driving people away.
That's right.
How many men have met strange women on social media and they're all married? You don't think it's going to separate? I used to coach football out in this world too, big boy. And I'm telling you right now, I had this little old boy. I had this girl that was about your size. I know she's a little younger than you. And at night she was pulling her hair out of her head and eating it. And little Robert running wild just out in the wild blue. Not having a clue, no leadership, Miss Stephanie. And his oldest brother, William, come to me. He said, Coach, he said, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah. He said, man, we was going through the computer the other day and found out that he has a secret site in there. And he's reached out to this woman. And we found naked photos of my daddy there with his fireman uniform on, his little hat and his jacket. And his coat is spread open. And he's met a woman on the internet. I said, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. The little girl was eating her hair at night. We played a football game down in Charlotte. Daddy showed up. When we was going out to eat afterwards, taking the team out, we went out there to a little restaurant to eat. And Daddy showed up. I'm not a good Christian, Brother Ron Williams. I'm not a good Christian at all. I told him, I said, I'm not eating to you. You're not welcome here. What I do, I said, bless God, you got how much time you got? I said, you double barrel punk you. I said, you got three little old kids that's about to lose their stinking mind. And you showing your little private parts on the internet and hooking up with a woman. I said, either you'll get your tail out of here or I'll stomp your guts out of you, son.
Amen.
Not tough. I'm not tough. Just can't handle it. I can't handle watching the snares take hold in people's lives and it's ripping their families apart. God forbid that I let a man sit around and spend 15, 20 minutes a day private time with my wife. And yet all along, that's what social media opens up. From the high, I have private open chat rooms where they can get along and figure it out amongst themselves.
That's right.
It's a snare.
Sure.
Got these little so-called friends. I'm 54 years old. Most of my friends are sitting in this room. 54 years. Most of my real friends are sitting in this room. Amen. Tomorrow, I'll be with one friend that I have. It's my wife in 54 years.
Amen.
I've told my children all their life growing up, I said, I want to hear that stupid junk about your friends, your little faggot friends. I want to hear about your friends. Tell me a blessed God about a friend. You don't know what a friend is. You ain't got no friends. Shut up. Get in there, bless God, and do something. I'm all right, Anna. I'm not making this stuff up. I said, boys, let me tell you something. When you're my age, you can hold that old hand out, count every one of your friends on that hand, and more than likely you'll have some fingers left over.
Right.
You'll have some fingers left over. You can count your genuine friends. I don't want to hear nothing about my friends. My friends is doing this, and my friends is doing it. Your friends is a snare if they're not trying to get you to God. I count some men of God as friends of mine because I believe I could count on them in a jam. I believe they'd be there for me thick and thin. My wife has been there thick and thin. I tell you what's a snare, Brother Bay. I tell you what's a live trap. Boyfriends and girlfriends. That terminology straight out of hell anyhow. That terminology is straight out of hell anyhow. That comes straight out of Hollywood. That's exactly right, friend. God never did ordain boyfriends and girlfriends. God ordained courting, and there's a certain way in that Bible where a man meets a woman and they court one another, but the boyfriend and girlfriend thing will drive you apart from the things of God. Boyfriends. Suckers has got the cooties anyway. Better check and make sure he's got the cootie shot. Don't you even come to me about no boyfriend. Hey, man, I'll cut your hair off the head. I'll send you back out there bald-headed. Hey, man, let you see bald-headed. You know about no stinking boyfriend. Girlfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend. My God Almighty, get a hold of yourself, man. Go get a hold of yourself and get a hold of God and get this thing straightened out. Turn that stupid junk over to God. You got the rest of your life, bless God, to sit around and deal with what comes with boys and girls. I'm telling you, and if you don't have the rest of your life, count your blessings, friend. I mean, you can go ahead and get saved and just go on and be with Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if you'll learn how to turn the boy thing and the girl thing over to God, hey, I tell you, when you do get one, God said it'll be a good thing.
That's right.
Quit trying to look for the one.
That's it. That's
get over right. there with God and just be the one.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Don't look for the one. Get along with God and just be the one. Let God make you the one. Amen.
That's right.
And if some boys That's and girls right. would get along with God and let God make them the one, then God could put two together and join them together in holy matrimony. And it'll be smiled on and blessed by God. It'll have the Spirit of God on it, the blessings of God on it. And you won't have to go through a bunch of hell.
Right.
Them life traps. How many boys and girls has been driven away from their mama because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Nobody in this world loves you like your mama and daddy.
Right.
You ain't got a friend in this world like your mama and daddy.
Right.
Your mama and daddy may be jerks. I was a jerk, but I love my kids with all of my heart. I was a mean daddy, I was a hard daddy, and I was a kind daddy, and I was a gentle daddy, and I was a loving daddy, and I was a beating daddy, and I was all those daddies. But I'll tell you one thing, I loved them. I loved them through their flaws. I loved them through the sunshine and through the rain. I loved them through the tears and through the smiles and the hardships and the good times. That didn't have a circumstance. I'm telling you, I just loved my children. I tell you something, friend. Any boy or any girl that ever comes into your life, listen, that begins to even pry a wedge between you and your mom and daddy, you better run like you're about to step on a rattlesnake. I don't mind folks getting married. Bless God, everybody ought to get married and have 4,900 youngins like an ass with. About to. We're going to change their name to the Rabbit Family. That's easier to say anyway. Rabbit. I bet old Indiana can get rabbit right. Yeah.
The rabbit, the bunny.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's right. Boys. Music, social media, whatever, whatever. You know what he's going to use, Kimberly? He's going to use what you like. 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 He's not going to use on you what I like. See, I like to fish a lot. I really like to fish. I like going down there to the beach. And you believe it or not, I go up there to the beach and fish. I never do take my pants off. Ain't that a wonderful thing? I keep my pants on the whole time. Ain't that wonderful? I just want to go ahead and clear the air because I am a preacher and I am a church person. And I want you to know that I can go fishing all day long, Brother Williams, and keep my britches on.
Yeah.
Preacher, don't you get hot? Yeah, what do you do? I just bless God in the water.
Amen. I jump in the water. I find me a spot where no fish is, and I jump in. I get my clothes wet, and I enjoy the feeling. Amen. 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 Or you can take your friend fishing and just put a hook in his nose. Amen. Go back there and keep our clothes on. There ain't nothing like getting in them backwaters. I go back there in them backwaters. And I sold my boat and I bought me a Hobie kayak. And get in that thing, man, that thing's nice, and you just start pumping. And there's paddles underneath it like penguins, and it just thrusts you through the water. And it got steering on both sides, and you can fish and steer and fight the current and get in a spot. And I enjoy all that good stuff. And man, you get back there and you start going down in creeks where them other boaters can't come, and it gets so shallow and so thin back there. And you find them little pockets where some of them fish is really holding in there. And you get a little current to come through that pocket, man, you'll find all kind of fish in it if you're lucky. I ain't talking about being a good fisherman. You just got to get lucky, I guess. And I don't even count it lucky. I just count the Lord's blessings when I go out and catch fish. I ain't trying to be super spiritual. I thank the Lord for letting me catch them when I do. I'm not going to tell you what I do when I don't catch them. I'm not super spiritual. I always like to carry somebody with me so I have something to blame it on. Amen. Yeah. I get back there in them backwaters where nobody is, and these pine tree islands, and the way them pine trees grow down there in the intercoastals, they're just beautiful. And there'll be an eagle sitting out there, and I'm not going to spiritualize no, you know, dung-eating eagle or nothing. I don't want to try to do all that. Say amen, Michael. But it's beautiful, man. Get out there, and it's just nice. You're sitting right there in the water, and it's just nice whether you're catching fish or not. It's just an honor to be out there. But when I go down there and I fish, I can't get the bait in my house. I can't go to none of the bait and tackle shops. I can't go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I can't go to Clemens Bait and Tackle. I can't go to none of the little bait and tackle stores or the sporting stores around my house and find the bait. Because I live 4 hours away from the coast. I live 4 hours away from those backwaters. They don't have that in their habitat. The bass eat something different. The brim eat something different around my house than what those fish eat down there. So what I had to do was go down there to the beach. And I get close to one of those, to the beach areas, and I get one of those bait and tackle shops there. I can find all the sea man worms that I like. I can find them imitation blue crabs. I can find them mud minnows. And I'm talking about artificial. I don't fish with live stuff. Most of the time it's just artificial. I can find me an artificial shrimp. Them old gulp shrimp sitting down there in that old sauce to make them put off that smell. Why would they put off that smell? So that them red drums go, supper time. And here's what I do. I go out there and I put that thing on and I throw it out there to where I think that fish is or beyond where I think that fish is, and then I bring it to him. And when I bring it to him, I work that thing all kind of ways to make it look like maybe it's just a wounded minnow in the water. Easy prey. It can't really get away. That triggers that brain in that red drum. And he says, oh, there's an injured one. I can get him. And boy, don't he look good. Look at him, boy. He's so bright and shiny. And bam, he takes off. And he puts the teeth in it. And then I set the hook. And the fight is on. The devil's going to use what you like. He'll come to your neighborhood and find the bait that you like. And he'll throw that thing out there in such a way that it entices you and lures you and draws you till you just whoa, inhale that thing. And then he's going to go wow and set the hooks on you. And you know what you're going to do? You can kick and scream and buck and fight all you want to. He's got the hooks set on you. You might be lucky by the grace of God to spit the hook. Some do. But most end up underneath my butcher knife and in my frying pan. That's where most people end up, that the devil sets his hooks in the frying pan. He's going to use what attracts you. Brother McVeigh, I'll hurry.
Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here's what he said. The truth shall make you free. You can get off the hook. You can get off the trap. You can get out of the snare. But it's going to take Jesus.
Right.
What's it going to take?
Yes, sir.
It's going to take what we're doing here this week.
Yes, sir.
To get off the hook. Sure will. It's not a 12-step program.
Sir.
I don't care how many people sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. It ain't going to happen. It's going to come through this book. Number two, there's a steel trap. Judges 16, if you'll go there, please. Go, please. Hurry, 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 hurry. Oh, my stars. Look at what time it is. It's preaching time. This is a familiar story. I'm going to read it for the ones that ain't familiar with it. Judges 16, verse 18, the Bible says, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she went down, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money into their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said to the Philistines, be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines, here it is. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. The steel trap. The steel trap. They bound him. He was connected to this world. He was connected with God. But he got caught in a snare. And they took him and gouged his eyeballs out of his head and bound him. And they put him out there as a display and made him grind at the mill. And then they had the big party and they brought everybody over. And they made ridicule and made fun. They laughed at him. And, oh yeah, look at those Samson, the strongest man that God ever let live. Said that they're bound to this world now. Bound to the Philistines. With his eyes pulled out of his head. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil will snare you. His traps. Steel trap. Here's what I want to tell you about it. It's not a relocator. It's one that's going to leave some scars in your life. We set them steel traps out down there. And what we do is we take a cable and a piece of rebar and we put a hook on that rebar and drive that rebar into the ground. And it takes that cable and connects it to this steel trap. And we take this spring-loaded trap with two really strong springs in it. We pull that thing open and it's tricky. And you got to take the little trigger in there and set that thing and get your hands off of it. And then here comes a little animal down through the woods and they don't realize it's there. You're laying it there very subtle, very inconspicuous. It's in a path that they travel very often and you don't disturb the path, but you lay it there. And as they come walking down the path, to unbeknownst to themselves, they step in that trap, trip the trigger, and bam, it shuts on their legs. I have seen them suckers kicking and screaming, and I mean, son, they'll take off. I've seen animals rip their legs off of themselves. I seen one animal sit there and literally chew its leg off of him. I mean, sit there and chew above the trap until it was like hamburger meat, doing its dead level best to get out of the trap. But the trap is set now, and it's going to leave its mark.
Yes, it will.
I'm okay, Miss Tanya? Sin will leave its mark, won't it? Sin will leave its mark, won't it? You're still carrying some of that baggage around, ain't you? Still carrying some of them scars. Maybe not the bag, but the scars. God saved Jamie. You got out of the trap, didn't you? Don't you wish some of them scars and memories went in there? Don't you wish you didn't have to battle them scars in your mind? It's going to leave some scars. It'll mess you up for life. Yes, God will get you out of the trap, but you're going to have to bear that. How would you like to be here as a 40-year-old woman with 3 or 4 abortions under your belt? Bearing that scar. I'm not dogging nobody. I'm telling you, it's a scar. It's a pain. It never goes away. You can forget it for a minute, man, in the thrill of a moment, but I tell you, that thing will come back and haunt you at the weirdest times. You can lay in your bed tonight and that thing will haunt you. You can hear a preacher preach against abortion and that thing will come back and haunt you. And I tell you, man, right there in the middle of nowhere, minding your own business, them scars will get up in your life and it'll start, oh, God, why? Sit here today, 2 or 3 divorces under your belt. I can't stand the thought of seeing a man and woman divorce. I hate it. Because I see young people fall in love. And I like it. I see them fall head over heels. And the snares are set in life. And they grow apart. And that person that they claimed that they once loved is head over heels. Now they despise and they're standing in a courtroom screaming at each other. Want who gets the house and want who gets the car and who gets to keep this youngin' and who gets to keep that youngin' and the youngin's is somewhere in between being ripped. Absolutely apart. And God can get you out of the snare. Them scars is going to be under your belt. And I preach, Brother McVeigh, because I don't want to see people scarred.
That's right. That's right.
I don't want to see the pain. I don't want to see the suffering. I hate for people to have to suffer like that. I don't want to see them have to go through that stuff when they can have a life of joy and peace and contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these young people, man, I'm telling you, you've got every opportunity in the world to go with God, but you've got every opportunity in the world to go to hell. I'm telling you, if you choose the wrong way, you get down there 20 years from now, and you decide to change your mind and you want to go with God, you can. You can go with God. Maybe. If God will give you an opportunity, if He'll give you a space, God might visit you again. I'm not going to promise that. I don't know what God's going to do. He does what He wants to do. But if God does give you an opportunity to get saved 20 years from now, that'll be a wonderful thing. But you're going to bear some scars. There's going to be some regrets. There's going to be some baggage in your life that you wouldn't have God. You'd have listened when you was 13, 12, 11, 16, 20. That's right. A steel trap will leave its marks. Yeah, you can get out of it. But you're going to bear that mark the rest of your life. Oh, boy. It'll always hurt you. It's going to always maim you. The Bible says they put Samson's eyes out. He wasn't going to recover from that. There wasn't no way his eyes was going to grow back in his head. Hey, Del Morey, has them tattoos fell off your arm yet? I would to God they would, but they ain't fell off of him. He's got to bear that stuff. And now he's got to go to church to church. You know what he's got to do? He's got to try to put him on a collar and pull his shirt down because the religious folks look at him cross-eyed and he's got to try to cover them scars up. Then he's going to go back to his room tonight, take his clothes off, get in the bed, look at that old man in the mirror and go, how stupid I was. How stupid I was. You know what's wrong with people today? They're blind. And they can't, I understand that. They're blind. Trying to lead a bunch of blind people somewhere, it's tough. It's hard. You can't expect them to see. That's why we preach like we do. That's why we scream and run and jump and pound and just hound and do all. That's why we say the things we do, because we understand, man, you're not seeing what we're seeing. And we're trying to get you to the place to where you see. Let me challenge some of you. Find you an older person here and sit down with them. Some of y'all sit down with some of these older people around here and ask them if I'm telling the truth. You don't have to take it from me. By the way, you don't have to take anything from me. Let me encourage you to go get your King James Bible and sit down and look at it for yourself. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe Donnie Harvey about praise. Go pick up your King James Bible and look at praise all through your Bible. God will show you what that's all about. Take God at His word. I'm trying. I'm okay. I'm hurting. Y'all ever heard this woman named Ruth? She went out full. She's been in Bethlehem, Judah, the son of God's blessings was in her life. She left the house of God full. I would say she came home. Don't call me Ruth. Call me Myra. The Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out of here. I had Mahlon, Chilion, Elimelech. We were blessed. Come back with this little Moabite damsel. I'm glad for the Moabite damsel. Wonder how long Ruth lived with the fact that Mahlon and Chilion was gone out of the will of God and Elimelech. You reckon that ever was recovered? Oh, God blessed them. You better believe. Little, thank God for Obed. Hey, man, little Obed. Thank God. And Elimelech never came back. Mahlon never came back. Chilion never made it back home. She lost her children out there. I tell you, the snares will leave their mark in your life. They'll leave their mark. Number three, and this will be the last one that I'll mention, it's the one I call the death trap. I don't want to know the name of it. It's just so brutal that I call it the death trap. John 10:10 says, the thief came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We take this death trap and we take, once again, a steel cable and we put it on a pretty nice-sized, strong tree branch. And we let that thing hang, and we've got a treble hook, a fish hook that's got three hooks in one that's about that big around. That big around. Big enough to catch shark on. A large shark. And we'll take that thing and dangle it so many feet up off the ground, 5 feet, 6 feet, whatever. And we'll take him, I'm sorry, but we'll take and kill a little rabbit. And we'll take that rabbit and put it on the hook. Leave it sitting in that tree hanging, and it sits there and rots, and the guts drip out of it. But coyotes love it. They love that stinky smell. They love them guts. Here comes a little coyote. Just got done eating a pheasant, wanting some apple pie. Smells it over there hanging up in the cherry tree. Wanders over there and jumps to get a hold of that rabbit. Ha! Oof. Little did he know, there's a treble hook in that rabbit. When that sucker bites down on that thing and his weight comes down, it sets the hooks, and I mean it's brutal for even me to watch. It sets the hooks in the roof of that sucker's mouth, and I mean it's on, son. It's nasty. It's ugly. Them things will go to screaming and hollering and bellering. You ought to see that sucker just fighting on that line. I mean, I'm not making fun. I'm not being a comedian here.
It's awful to watch Brother Williams. And I don't give a flip about a coyote's life, but I hate to watch a coyote on the death trap. That thing sitting there just dangling in the air with a hook up in its mouth. And it can't get off. The more it moves, the deeper the hook's set in its mouth. And I'm thinking, this ain't spiritual. I'm telling you what we do. I'm not trying to make this graphic. It just is. It's what the devil does. It's graphic.
That's right.
Thing sits there and, God, man, oh, squirming and fighting, and it don't know the best thing for it is to be still. But it kicks and fights and squirms and screams. The other coyotes run. They run.
Do you know how many people I've seen in my 54 years? I've seen Satan take the bait and set the hooks. And I mean someone, he sets the hooks. He sets the hooks for life. He ain't intent. The more they kick and the more they scream and the more they fight sometimes, the deeper he sets the hooks. It ain't within my power. It ain't within your power. It takes the power of God to get us off the death hooks of Satan. But there's hooks out there he set for you. We didn't put a fish on the hook. The coyote's interested in the rabbit. He knows what your interest is. The devil knows exactly what every one of us is interested in.
Oh.
You know what the Bible said? He's seeking who he may devour. I looked the word devour up and it means this. To swallow or eat up voraciously as a beast of prey. To eat like a beast. To eat ravenously. To eat barbarously. Can't you see the devil just taking a bite out of people? Can't you see him just devouring people? That's what I do. That's why I'm like I am. Because in my little old hazel eyeballs, I'm looking across this world. I'm looking across these congregations. I'm looking across these lives, Brother Taylor. And I'm seeing him take people very barbarously. I'm seeing him take chunks out of them at a time. I'm watching him rip them apart, set his hooks, and just put them in his mouth and devour them until there's nothing left. What he does. I'm a bird. The seed of God's being sown. The fowls of the air, that's the devil, come along. And they snatch that seed, that word of God, out of your heart. You know what the Bible said that fowl does with it? It devours it. You'll never get that word back again. It's gone. It's devoured. He has taken it, and he has now eaten it up, and you're not getting it back. That's why it's so important, these preachers talking about preparing your hearts and breaking up the fallow grounds and us coming in here with a ready heart and a ready mind to receive the Word of God so that the fowls of the air can't steal that seed and devour it. It can be fruitful one day. It can germinate and be watered and produced for God's glory. But no, the devourer's out there to take it out of your heart. Make sure you don't get anything good in your life. Right. He wants to take the good he's desired to have you. I got news for you, and I'm trying to quit. I know you're tired and hungry. But listen to me. When I say he desires to have you, that's to the born again believers in this place. As to the born again believers, to those of you that's not born again, he doesn't desire to have you. He has you.
That's right.
Oh, it's not that he's going to get you. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. You say, what is it that's keeping this thing together? The mercy of God.
That's right.
That's right.
The grace of God. The reason you ain't been torn to shreds today is because of God's mercy. The reason you ain't completely consumed and devoured today, the reason that you're not out there already, the reason there's still something for you in here is because God, in His grace and goodness and mercy, has seen fit let you be here today to give you an opportunity. Listen, I'm done. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said in the second part of John 10:10, but I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I believe I'd rather have that part. I'll take part B, wouldn't you? I'll take part B. I enjoy life. A lot of these folks running around, Brother Ronnie, they ain't nothing but a bunch of zombies, dead men walking.
That's it. Dead men walking.
And they're not living, they're existing.
That's all.
I existed until I got born again.
Amen.
I mean, I thought I was living, Brother Williams, and I kept waking up empty. Time and time again. Woo! Living it up tonight! Wake up in a puddle of blood, a puddle of butte, toes, clothes tore off, body tore apart. Living it up! I'd rather take part B. Came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'll go with God.
Yes, sir.
By the grace of God, I'll just go with God. Glad God come by where I was at one day, little old nothing, nobody. I want you to understand something. In my family, I was the one voted most likely to spend my life in prison, to be a nothing, to be a nobody. And I can't get past the fact that the Bible says, but God.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, glory to God, but God. I said God, but it ain't. Amen. I said that in the Hebrew. I know it's kind of hard to get. But God, God put it in. God put it in when I was dead in my trespasses and dead in my sins. When I was captured by the snares of hell and Satan. Oh, he had his claws in me. He had his hooks in me. But thank God, one drop of the precious blood. He came to make me free, man. I believe I'll just stick with God. You know what I want? I want everybody just to enjoy the things I enjoy. Amen. I want to enjoy the peace and the joy and the fruit of God Almighty, the fruits of righteousness. That's all I want, man. I want to see everybody know God. I want to see everybody get full of the Holy Ghost. I want to see everybody walk. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with wanting to see these youngins grow up and have a life after God? See them live their life for the glory of God. He deserves our glory. He deserves the praise. He's the one that died. He's the one that suffered. Let's give it all to Him, amen. He deserves it.
I was hanging that death trap one day. Three hooks in me,